This thing's being stubborn, or I'm getting weak. Might be both. Brother Gerald Hollenbach is 106 years young, and his mind is probably sharper than mine, you know, which don't take a whole lot, do it? But amen. Yeah, I'll admit to it. And man, oh man, I've been fighting vertigo off and on for several weeks now. And this morning, when I sat up, everything was spinning. I'm like, praise God. Always on a Sunday morning, that's really good. But that's all right. We're here. And prayerfully, we'll get through the morning okay. If I fall over here, just stand me back up. Well, give me a minute and we'll get back to it. I want to talk to you about something this morning, and it's simple. Most of you should know, or at least I hope you do, and I know you'll understand where I'm headed with it. But I think it's good to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I love my salvation, and I thank God for it. So it's something that we should be reminded about. And I've just ran into a few things throughout the week that kind of brought this on to me here, and I just felt like I needed to get it out there. So run your antenna up this morning. It's real simple, nothing complicated, but that's what the gospel is, right? It's really simple. Unfortunately, the world that we live in today wants to complicate everything. You know, when we read the scriptures and we're going through a Bible, we think about the Apostle Paul. We think about him being a Pharisee, and he said he was chief of all sinners, amen? But when we think about a Pharisee, we don't put that with good, do we? We think of it as being wrong. But how many of us are Pharisees today in our Christian lives? Think about it. How many churches do people act like the Pharisees in the church, Christian police? We're so worried about what somebody else is doing, we can't keep our focus on ourselves. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time keeping myself in line. I don't have time to be worried about what everybody else is doing. You know, we don't need to be the Christian police. We need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for you in your life. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. And that goes pertaining to everything. It pertains to your dress. It pertains to your music. It pertains to everything that you do throughout the entire day. Well, I don't need to tell you what's right and wrong. Let me tell you what you do. You come to the Lord's house, and you sit under the teaching and the preaching of this book, and God will tell you what's right and what's wrong. I don't need to tell you. The Holy Spirit will deal with you in his time. And when it's time for you to make the changes that you need to make, God will help you make those changes. So we don't need to be the Christian police. And what brought that on is I had somebody in the parking lot who was telling me about the good news. So I probably don't need to tell you who that is, but I will in a moment. But the good news, what is the good news? Or better yet, what is the gospel? The gospel is what? The news. That is the good news. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what exactly is the gospel? It's very, very simple. And it's what sends you to heaven. That's the only way that we'll get to heaven. Why is Israel having such a hard time today? Because they're God's chosen people, correct? How does that reflect on us? Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that there is one way, one God, and one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel simply speaks of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel. It's so simple, a little child can understand it. But man tries to make it so complicated. Why does man make the gospel complicated? It's pretty simple, really. Man wants to have power and control over you. That's why they add. That's why the Catholics add all the things that they add to their doctrine and to their belief. It's because they still want to be Pharisees. They still want to have control. I can take you back to Matthew and show you in the Bible where the Pharisees said that if they didn't get rid of Christ, if they didn't kill him, that the whole world would believe him. Yeah, they would. sadly today is that we have the free gospel. It's readily available to anybody who wants it. It's 100% free. It doesn't cost you a penny. It's simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you go to heaven? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that's ever been saved on planet Earth gets saved the same way. How is that? Through faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says Abraham believed God. And it was what? Accounted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. He was believing in the coming Messiah. You and I are looking back at the cross today, and we're believing in this Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what gets us to heaven. A lot of people bring in baptism to the picture. Baptism is a good thing. Baptism is a picture of what Christ did for you on the cross. Now, I know I'm just educating you what you already know, but there might be somebody out there in radio land that needs to hear this morning. Because God didn't lay this on my heart. This is not what I was supposed to be teaching this morning in my mind. But this is what the God laid on my heart this morning. Baptism is the picture of what Jesus did. When we put you back here in this baptismal pool and you're standing up there, when they dunk you down in that water, that's a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you're resurrected, bring you up out of the water, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus raising from the dead. And he's alive today. And that's what baptism is. Baptism doesn't save you. All baptism does is you are telling the world, this is what I believe. This is my Jesus. This is what my God did for me. And I believe that. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a born-again believer, then you should be willing to be baptized. Because we're not supposed to be ashamed of Christ. And so what we're doing through baptism is showing the world, this is what I believe. Now, nowhere in that belief did it say anything about wearing breeches. When you got baptized, it didn't say anything about that, did it? It didn't say anything about smoking, drinking. None of that was involved. Now, the Bible does tell us to be ye holy, for I am holy. But the problem with churches today, folks, let me ask you, where have you ever in your lifetime been hurt the most? Most of the time, it's one of two places. It's either at home through the family, or through the church family. It destroys lives because of our own ignorance. See, it's not my job to police you. It's my job to teach you and tell you what the scriptures say. It's your job to live your life according to Christ the way he wants you to live it. And if you don't, that's between you and your God. It's none of my concern. Do I feel for you? Yes. Do I pray for you? Yes. Do I want you to live a godly life? Yes. It's for your own good. It's for your own benefit. I know a young couple that's separated right now. Folks, if they would just live according to the scriptures, the best that you can. You know, Jesus died on the cross for a reason. He died on that cross because we can't live by the law. We can't keep his law. So he died on that cross so that I don't have to. You ever thought about it that way? I'm not going to anyway. I can't. It's impossible. So in our lives together, especially married couples, if we would just try to follow the doctrine of Christ, just do our best to live the way God asks us to live, we would be much stronger in our marriages. We wouldn't be separating. We'd be coming to church. We'd be having the fellowship with other Christians. And the more of us that done that, the fuller this church would be. With the amount of people today, that's in our society, this place should be bulging. It should be packed full. But let me tell you what would bring them in here. If we wanted to preach the prosperity gospel, that would bring folks in. Or if we wanted to put a set of drums up here and have some rock and roll music, that would bring some people in too. You say, well, why don't you do that? Because we're not interested in just bringing people in. You know, if you're bringing them into the world, then you're bringing them into the same thing that they have every day. We're bringing them here for what? We're bringing them here. We want to bring them here, like Anniversary Sunday coming up. What's Anniversary Sunday all about? It's all about getting souls saved. We want to invite the children here. We want the children to get them while they're young. Get the gospel to them. Get them off on the right foot. If you get, you know, when you get saved, Jesus moves in here. The Spirit of God moves in right here, moves in your heart, and stays there. And all through, I got saved when I was 12 years old. And all through my life, I can look back now, all through my life, at all the decisions that I made and how many of them that I made just because Jesus lived right here. I could have very easily gone a different direction. But because I had Christ, no. Every time you go to make a decision, your mind, back here in your mind, that little still voice would say, no. You don't do that. People offer you drugs. No. See, it wasn't important for me to fit in with the crowd because I had a better crowd. So see, folks, that's the importance of Jesus in our children's lives. So when we have Anniversary Sunday, we try to get the children out. And if we can get the children out, guess what? Sometimes we can get Mom and Daddy out. And if we can get Mom and Daddy out, every once in a while, Grandpa and Grandma will come out. And I said that I might would get in that bounce house, Brother Burton, if I had to. And the reason I said that was because of my vertigo. If it weren't for that, I'd get in the bounce house. I got to fight my wife to keep her out of the bounce houses every year. She wants to get in there, and I don't really mind her getting in there, but she's competitive, and it doesn't matter how little they are. You know, she's going to jump higher than they are. You know what I'm saying? So I got to try to keep her out of the bounce houses. So... But I wouldn't mind getting in one. It doesn't bother me in the least. No, you're not getting in one. No. It'd be good for your hip. Exercise, stretch them bones out. It's just, it would be a lot of fun. Give it a try. You never know, right? Hang on to your glasses. That's what you're worried about. I know you. You're worried about your glasses. You're worried about your teeth. You're worried about your hearing aid. Yeah. I think I heard a preacher up here speaking about that the other night. So he's got more that goes in the drawer than he puts in the bin. Amen. That was funny. There was a lot of truth to that, wasn't it? And but folks, we as Christians, we need to be friendly to people. We need to stop trying to be the police. That's not our job. What did Jesus say? Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, right? He came that the world through him might be saved. So if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, who am I to condemn you? Isn't that what Jesus said? So, folks, we need to get off of that, get that out of our mind. Yeah, but we got to keep to the doctrine. Yes, we do. We stick to the doctrine. That's your job. You keep yourself. I can tell you the same thing that Jesus told the people with the woman at the well. Ye without sin, cast the first stone. How many of you going to pick up a rock and throw it? You see what I'm saying? So, folks, we need to get our lives where they need to be, and we'll be able to get more people to come to church, to come to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many rumors that goes around about the church houses. If you're teaching the gospel, the good news, and you're spreading the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody in the world is going to hate you. All the other churches are going to hate you because if they're being run by the devil... If it's not of God, then it's of the devil. That's what the Bible teaches us. So if they're not teaching the true gospel, then it's of the devil. We're going to look at that in a few moments in Galatians. So if you're not one, you're of the other. So the world's going to hate you. So there's going to be a lot of rumors and a lot of bad sayings. Do you really care? You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep inviting people. It's just like the preacher said. Pastor Carter used to say, you know, Sunday mornings, your neighbor's going to look to see where your car's at. And this morning, a lot of those cars are still parked in the driveway. Why? It rained. You can't go to church when it rains. Well, how many of them went to the grocery store yesterday when it rained? Walmart was packed, I guarantee you. You probably couldn't get in the aisleway. But you can't make it to church because it's raining. Now, I know and I understand Baptists do not like to be sprinkled. I understand that. Yesterday, you wasn't in much danger of that. You'd have got soaked, right? You'd have just about would have been dunked. But folks, we just need to keep that focus and that mindset. I want to read a verse to you out of John chapter 5, and verse 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life." We don't have a maybe salvation. We have a no-so salvation. See, man brings in so many other things to it, so many Pharisees out here. All the things that you've got to do to be saved and all the things that you've got to do to go to heaven. No. The Bible tells us that you have a no-so salvation. All right, with that being said, turn your Bibles over to Romans. Romans chapter 10. I believe it's chapter 10. I got to find it here in my book. I want to read something to you. It's very, very simple. Listen to what it says, chapter 10. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, you think about that right there. Now, how many Israelites are dying today in that war over there that's without Jesus? That's without Christ, because they don't know the truth. They're still without the truth. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." See here, folks, it's not about keeping the law. It's not about being right or wrong, is it? It's about righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel today still doesn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. That's so sad. And it's so simple. The Bible tells us that we have a no-so salvation. We don't have to guess it. How many religions today are out here knocking doors, working, trying to work their way to heaven? They have a zeal for God too, don't they? But their zeal is just as wrong as the Pharisees. I was in a parking lot up here in town, and I had this black man, nice, real nice guy. I saw him out the corner of my eye. I seen he had pamphlets in his hand. So I figured he was going to approach me as I was putting some groceries in the back of my car. So I kind of took my time. I wanted to make sure he got there. He was like me. He was an old man, you know. So he wobbled on across the parking lot. And he got there, and he introduced himself, and he wanted to tell me about the good news. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what is the good news?" And he went on and proceeded to tell me about how the devil's going to be defeated. For the devil's the prince of the earth. He's going to be defeated, and the world's going to be better. We're going to have a good earth that we can live on. Now, you know he's thinking about the millennial reign, right? So I asked him, I said, "Well, do you have any scriptures or doctrine to back that up with?" And he gave me some scripture that we looked it up. I had my Bible. I told him, I said, "Wait just a minute. I got a Bible in my car." We looked it up. And anyhow, it doesn't say what he was saying. It was referring to the millennial reign. So I asked him, I said, "Well, let me just ask you one quick question." I said, "The most known verse in the Bible. Most children know the verse, most popular verse that there is in the Bible. Can you tell me what that is?" And he thought and thought. He said, "No, I don't believe I can." I said, "Well, let me tell you what it is." I said, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I said, "That's what it's all about right there. It's about everlasting life." And I proceeded to give him a few scriptures, let him know that he can have a no-so salvation. He doesn't have to be out trying to work his way to a place that he's not going to get. They think that by telling me the good news about how the world's going to get better. Look around you. Has it gotten any better in 2,000 years since Christ? And it's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to go downhill. It's going to get worse and worse. The Bible tells us that. But as I try to tell this man about the love of Christ, he automatically, he just clams up and takes off across the parking lot. So I hollered at him. I said, "You do understand that without Christ, you're going to hell." He never looked back. But all the way as far as I could see him, I kept hollering, "You know you're going to hell without Christ." And God bless him. I hope he looked up a few of those scriptures that I give to him. But folks, that's the world that we live in today. And I said all that to say this. Well, we're going to go to Galatians. But let me finish reading this verse. Then we'll go there. "For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of the wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend unto the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead." That's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." That's what we were just telling you about, faith. Faith in what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. This is what the Bible tells us right here. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's complicated, isn't it? He goes on to say, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, don't take that verse lightly, "for with the heart." That's your innermost being. I've heard people say, "Well, salvation is just a decision." No, 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 no. It's not just a decision of the mind. The Bible says, it's of the heart. It's of the heart. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." That's what I was just talking about, the baptism. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And then verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's how complicated the gospel, the good news. That's how complicated it is. Not complicated, is it? It's very, very simple. You want to go to heaven today? You out in radio land? You don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? It tells you right here, we have a no-so salvation. Right here, believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus, and confess with thy mouth. What does it mean to confess? I don't need to tell you. You know that you're a sinner, don't you? You know that you're not worthy of heaven. You know you don't deserve it. We're to confess to the Lord that we are nothing and he is all. That's what we need. "And for whosoever shall call upon in the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then he goes on in verse 14. It says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Think about that the next time you badmouth your preacher. The next time he says some little something that you didn't understand just right, or you didn't hear, or maybe he didn't say a name just right, and you got something to say about it. Think about that right there. What's important? The importance is the gospel. That's what matters. See, it's not about me. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm nothing but a spokesman. All I can do is read the scriptures to you and try to help explain to you what they are, what they mean. I can do nothing else. Everything in your life that matters is going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be your power. He's going to be your life. He's going to be your wisdom. He's going to be your strength. Everything that you need is in him. Unfortunately, today, we're putting our trust in everything but Christ. Have you ever thought about the things that go on in the world today, these smartphones that you have? I know you got one. How many hours a day do you spend on that dumb box? Think about it. You got a little box in your hand smarter than you are. You ever thought about that? But do you understand that that's just a tool of the devil? Oh, there he goes now. He's picking on the phones. No, I'm picking on everything. Because everything in your life today, everything, is doing one thing. It's trying to get your focus off of Christ and get your focus on yourself. Folks, look at your jobs. Look at your homes. Look at your cars. Look at your insurance. Look at the price of your groceries. You know, it's burdensome today for some folks just to go to the grocery store. People are having to make decisions today. Do I buy groceries or do I pay my insurance? I had a man tell me this week that his house payment went up $500 a month because of his insurance. He has no option. He either pays it or they foreclose on his home. His insurance is in with his mortgage. $500 a month. I can't imagine having a $500 house payment, let alone $500 increase. I couldn't pay it. But today, people are having to make that decision. So what do I do? Do I pay this or do I pay that? What does that do to your life? Does that not bring stress to your life? Does that not take your focus off the things of Christ? Everything that happens in your life today, the traffic that you're involved in, you go out here and you wait in line for an hour to get through one light because the guy in front of you texting on the phone. What does that do to your mind? Where does that get your focus? Off of Christ. How about you turn that smart box on and it's advertising and talking about the AI, artificial intelligence. Yeah, it's real and it's coming. No doubt about that. How about the grocery store? It's a battle now just to go to the grocery store. I shop over in Winter Haven because you can't get through the Walmart in Haines City. And if you go to Winn-Dixie sometimes, it's so bad now because people are trying to get out of Walmart to go to Winn-Dixie. So it's so crowded. But it messes up your focus. You get aggravated. You get irritated. You say, well, what's that got to do with the Bible? All of these things, every day, all the things that you have to deal with, it doesn't matter whether it's business or whether it's in your job or if it's in your travels, everything in your life affects the way your mind is working today in your life. How about when you get back home with your family? Folks, that's why we need to be here on Sunday morning. We need to be here to get re-energized, recharged. Now, you know, your brain, I've said it before, your brain is just like a computer. It only knows what you put in it. Now, I know these little smart boxes are smart, little phones, but somebody programmed it. Somebody had to feed that information into it. And that's what you're doing with your brain all day long. Well, you're feeding all this garbage in your brain every day, all day long. At the end of the week, you need to be here to put something good in it. You need to be here on Wednesday night. Well, I'm busy on Wednesday night. Yes, you are. Sure, you're busy on Wednesday night. That's part of the devil's plan. Folks, he's going straight to hell, and there's nothing he can do about it. But he's going to try to take you with him. And if he can't take you, if he can get your focus so messed up and get your focus so far off of Christ and into the things of the world, then you're not going to share the gospel today. If he can just get you aggravated enough to show out like a nut or a fool or an idiot, he can mess up your testimony in front of somebody who needs Christ. That's why it's so important, the prosperity gospel. Oh, my soul. I was watching a thing on, I don't know what you call it, streaming over the line, whatever it is. It was on television, all right? Television is not television, so however that works, I don't know. But they were showing all these prosperity preachers and all the things that they teach and they believe. It's sickening. Folks, let me tell you something. If you go home and you turn the television on and you're watching the preacher, cut it off. Cut it off, and don't send a check. Please. I mean, why are you sending a check to a man worth $400 million? Got 19 jets, you know? I mean, really? You know, their churches don't run one bus, not one. They don't bring one child to church. That's not their interest. Here, our money, your money that you put in the offering plate, it buys gasoline for these old raggedy buses that we got because we can't afford new ones. But they got millions and millions and millions, and you want to send them another dollar. Don't send it to them. Your money belongs where your local church is. You bring it to your storehouse. You give it to God. That's where your money belongs. These preachers, they don't bring in one child. They're not interested in souls. They don't care about anybody getting saved. They don't care whether your children or your grandchildren go to hell next week or they die 20 years or 50 years or tomorrow in a car accident. They don't care. What they're interested in is getting the money out of your checkbook, out of your bank account, into their bank account. That's what they're interested in. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have money. I'm not saying that at all. I think they deserve everything they can get if they get it right. If they get it justifiably, get it correctly. Don't steal it from God. When people put money in this offering plate, you're paying tithes to God, and then anything above that is what you're giving. You're giving it and you're trusting your church and your pastor to take that money and use it for God's business. That's what you're trusting them to do with it. And that's what's going to be done with it here. I can guarantee you that. But when you turn that television on and that preacher's telling you that you need to sow some seed, you want to sow seed, go up to town, get you a bag of grass seed, go outside and sow you some seed. Or I'll tell you what, go knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus. That'll be some seed worth sowing. But as far as just, you think, I'm just going to write a check and give the last $100 I got. I can buy groceries or I can send this to the preacher uptown and God's going to bless me 10,000-fold. So that's what they teach. That's a prosperity gospel. That's not what we're supposed to be studying. And if you go to the book of Galatians real quick before we run out of time, we started on this about a month ago. So we're going to read through it right quick. Might skip a lot of it. Paul, an apostle, first chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, Paul here, the apostle, first of all, he's letting you know he's an apostle. That's the first thing he's doing. Second of all, he's letting you know he's not called by man. He was called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So he's got some authority. And all the brethren which are with me into the church of the Galatians, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who give himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of the church unto another gospel. There is no other gospel. Unto another gospel. See, at this time they was bickering. There was some. You got to remember, the church, early church, was called out of Judaism, wasn't it? So they're still trying to get the law back into the church. Hey, I'm not subject to the law, and that's what Paul. When Paul showed back up over here, Paul couldn't believe that they was so soon moved from what he had taught them. But look at verse 8. This is the verse I want to show you. Verse 8. But though we, that's Paul speaking, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel. There's only one good news. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus. That's what Paul taught. That's what Paul preached. And outside of that, the Bible says, let him be accursed. So, folks, when you're listening to all this stuff on television, if it's not sticking to the book, if it's not what the same gospel that Paul preached, then it's a false gospel. Don't listen to it. Don't let them collect you in and draw you into a devil's hell. I'm out of time. What's our count this morning? All right, 8:29 this morning. Up a little bit. That's good. Praise the Lord.